Nebraska falls short of completing a road sweep. Everyone take a minute now and realize how bad Nick was at his predictions over the weekend.
Awful.
Can't win all the time. Neither could they. They
didn't get one right.
They lose yesterday at Minnesota 6-2. Nebraska scores 2 runs on 7 hits, while Gophers total 6 runs and 5 hits. Huskers 30-16 overall, 12-6 of the Big Ten. Minnesota 21-21 overall and 7-11 in the Big Ten. Josh Caron led Nebraska at the plate, going 2-for-4 with a double and 2 runs scored. Will Walsh drops to 4-4 on the year after giving up 3 runs on 4 hits and 2 1/3 inning. Nebraska faces the Fighting Rabid Jackrabbits of South Dakota State, Haymarket Park, Wednesday night. Should be good weather. Creighton baseball swept at St. John's as the Blue Jays fall 7-1 of the series finale on Saturday. Loss moves them to 31-14 on the season. They are 4-10 in the Big East. St. John's is 31-11-1 and 11-4 in conference play. That Rick Pitino can win in anything. Omaha baseball loses 2 of 3 at Oral Roberts. They next play at Kansas tomorrow. Nebraska volleyball sweeps Denver in front of a sold-out crowd of 5,094 at the UNK Health and Sports Center Saturday. Just a bad day for Denver sports altogether on Saturday. 1-7 of the NBA yesterday sees the Cavaliers rally from a big deficit to knock off Orlando 106-94 for their efforts. They get to go to Boston to face the Celtics in the second round. Good luck. Better see if Mark Price, Craig Ehlo, Brad Doherty, and Larry Nance can be added to the Cavs roster. They did help knock out the Celtics in 1992. Many people have forgotten. I haven't. Tonight, 2 games. Patrick Ewing and the Knicks face Reggie Miller and the Pacers in game 1 of their Eastern Conference semifinal series. First time the two teams have faced Ewing and Reggie Miller since 1995. Wait, huh? Anyway, followed by the second game between the Timberwolves and Nuggets, with Ant-Man leading Minnesota to a 1-0 lead after Saturday night's game 1 victory, and that was a damn good basketball game. It lived up to everything. Congrats to Bruin Steve, whose hockey team eliminated the Maple Leafs in Game 7 Saturday night, 2-1 in overtime. Hopefully everyone's blood pressure came back down, but then went back up last night. 1-7 saw the Golden Knights' title defense come to an early end as they are knocked out by the Dallas Stars. 1 second-round Game 1 yesterday in the world's most famous arena as the Rangers beat the once Hartford Whalers 4-3. The other second-round series are the Bruins and Panthers in the East, and out west, the Stars and Avalanche and the Oilers and Canucks. Hey, 2 Canadian teams, eh? Finally, the gentleman caller of the Zone's Livy Dunn, Paul Skeens, went through a rite of passage yesterday, allowing his first home run as a pro, so congratulations. Pitching for Indianapolis, Skeens gave up a solo home run to Buffalo outfielder Will Robertson, a Toronto Blue Jays prospect, in the 5th inning. Skeens had pitched 33 2/3 innings in the minor league over the past 2 seasons before allowing his first long ball. Skeens got one more hitter out Sunday before leaving after 4 1/3 inning. They'll have him allowed 2 runs on 3 hits with 4 strikeouts, 2 walks over 66 pitches. Yeah, dude's still really good, and he'll be pitching for your Pittsburgh Pirates quite soon, I would imagine. Soonish.
So what, the ERA is 0.99?
Yeah, it's not looking good. Mm. Yeah. It's almost at 1. Damn.
Why is he still in AAA?
That's actually what I thought when I first saw the story. Let's get him up there already. And you say it'd be about this week, the schedule would line up for them?
I thought it would be this week that they would call him up. So maybe it will happen, but there's no, he has nothing further to gain because now they've stretched him out a little bit because he's pitched into the 6th inning now. I don't know. Is it really that much of a financial strain to start his clock? I mean, they missed April, so they're actually in a good spot.
Yeah.
But how much longer are you going to keep him down there?
Especially with Livy's already got her, she's got her fits ready to go. Can't keep her waiting. Can't keep that waiting. Especially the Pittsburgh Pirate fans too. But hey, you got the Cubs trip coming up. When is the homestand continues on? Is it Cubs this weekend?
Yep.
Okay. It could happen.
So baseball this weekend, Nebraska was the only one that won a series.
Mm-hmm.
Creighton got swept.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got thoughts. Itself. And Omaha lost 2 of 3. Omaha's only a half game back of St. Thomas. They play St. Thomas this weekend. St. Thomas can't be in the Summer League tournament. Creighton has 2 more weekends left. They got to go to UConn this weekend, who is atop the Big East. Nebraska comes home and they play Indiana. You heard Jimmy mention they do play their last midweek game. But so there's the disappointment of yesterday, and Nebraska's got to find a way on getaway day to score more than 2 runs.
Right.
And give some run support to their starting pitching. But they did win a series, and they are still in good shape to win the Big Ten because they're a game back. So Illinois is 13-5, and then Purdue, Indiana, Nebraska are all 12-6. Nebraska gets Indiana this weekend. So they're still in good shape. Their RPI is 21. I know when they won the first two, and I heard I got a email and they're like, hosting question mark. And
no.
I'm like, come on, man. Quit sending me an email. But they're still in a good spot.
Oh, it was Kendall who sent that.
Oh, I was joking. Because he is still perpetrating the idea that Nebraska could host. But they won a series and they're still in good shape, and that's all that matters. Here's what I wonder, though, which you can score 17 runs the last two game ones of a Big Ten series, but a guy that got off to such a great start, now in his last 10 innings has given up 7 earned runs in Brett Sears.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the offense has come alive when he has struggled, which is encouraging, but I need a 1 to be a 1. And I wonder if we are starting to hit the wall a little bit. Or we were just so good at the beginning of the year that when you maybe go 6 and you give up 2 runs, or you go 7 and you give up 3, you're like, whoa, what's wrong with you? But I think the last two outings, he hasn't missed many barrels, and he's getting squared up. And, I mean, we're talking about Brett Sears. That's your number one, who we didn't even blink. We're like, you know what? He's fine. They're going to win the first game of a series. They're going to win the first game of the Big Ten tournament. Heck, they might beat that number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. He's someone to watch the next two starts.
It's going to be a really boring answer on my half of what I think is probably going on, but it is, I think there's a little bit of, I don't like using the word fatigue, because then all of a sudden it makes it feel like no matter what they do to condition his arm, he's going to continue to descend. I do put a lot into, this is where I look at the analytics part of the college game and the scouting reports, the really advanced scouting reports that a lot of teams, I mean, I know Big Ten baseball is not the SEC, but having a lot of that data readily available and trying to give hitters more of an advantage in what they can anticipate and seeing, I think does play a little bit when you have a guy that is giving you more data and you're trying to, this is where I think Rob Childerson, just watching some of the games that I have this year with Nebraska up close and personal, the one thing that I've always appreciated about Rob Childress and how he handles his staff is he doesn't give you a lot of patterns. And I think that that is a good thing. But if you know the strength of a pitcher and you know where he's locating, and this is where I go with maybe a little bit of the fatigue part of it, is when that location, especially the fastball that is very good with Sears, is starting to elevate just a little bit and you're starting to get data that is showing early in counts, maybe early in innings, because as we always know, a lot of aces, a lot of dominant pitchers, I've always felt this, and this goes, you know, pre-analytics time, first two innings are their most gettable. First two innings are when they are at their most vulnerable. If you do not take advantage, whether it's squaring up a couple pitches, but it goes right to an infielder and he's able to make that play, you feel like if you waste that opportunity, pitcher knows it, you know it, he starts to overpower, and then you start pressing in the batter's box. I think this has been a case of where guys have been able to square up some pitches early on, have been able to get a little bit of that hitter's luck to be able to get either balls through the infield or be able to elevate some pitches over the fence, that, okay, all of a sudden you took advantage of the time that he's gettable. And then after that, whether a pitcher responds and is able to try to overpower down the stretch or not, it's kind of a situational deal there. I do think that the more starts you get, and I watching Big Ten baseball, and I remember Maryland, this would have been...
No one watches Big Ten baseball now.
That's also a very good point. You remember the year that...
except for the people here.
Jake Hohensee, when Nebraska had him, and the Maryland pitcher is escaping me. They had this incredible Friday night duel, and Hohensee was lights out. The Maryland pitcher was lights out, and it was interesting. After that game, I remember following that Maryland pitcher to see how he was doing, because ERA-wise, he went in the tops of the Big Ten. He started to get banged around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that there is a lot of, let's take a team's approach that was most successful against that pitcher. Let's see what they were looking at, and let's see where they were swinging at in the zone. Let's see what he was offering to them in the zone. So I do think, again, a lot of that data, when you stack up more starts, actually works against you. You know more about yourself. Your pitching staff or your pitching coach knows more about you, but opposition knows a little bit more about you too. And as long as they're able to take advantage of that early in a game, I do think that that does matter. So the stuff that Brett Sears has, I think, is still legitimate top shelf stuff. And you know,
yeah, you're right. We're talking about a guy that's 7-0 with a 2.1.
Yeah, exactly. The earned run average. Yeah. But I do think when you're starting to look at a team, we could talk about we could completely go a different conversation with Creighton that's looking to just, you know, play out the season, as opposed to Nebraska that we're starting to look at what they will be in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So it's a good conversation to have on Brett Sears, because okay, yeah, he's fine right now, but is there something to worry about? Say you're starting in a regional, you're going up against another number one, regardless of who you're playing. Are you able to get that type of effort and know that, hey, they're going to have a scouting report on you, but can you pitch around that? And this is, again, where I go back to Rob Childers and the patterns that you have with the pitchers, the unpredictability when it comes to that, things that can make you stay ahead of some of those advanced scouting reports.
Well, I wonder, do you think, so 67 innings he's pitched the last 3 years. He's now at 78 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
And we might,
that's a workload.
We might just be picking here. He's 7-0 with a 2.18, but the last two, the opener against Iowa and then Friday night, he's given up crooked numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't a Nebraska offense that all of a sudden Max Anderson and Bryce Matthews come to the plate, right, and they can change a game with one swing. But they have been able to score 17 runs in their openers the last 2 weekends, so they've been able to overcome that. I wonder if, I mean, we're now got a lot, we're throwing more, and you're about to go into an awkward situation in terms of rest, because pitch on Friday against Indiana, then because of the Big Ten tournament, that Michigan State series has moved up a day, so you'll pitch on Thursday, and then depending on where Nebraska is, you're either pitching on Tuesday, which would be on same-day rest,
right?
But not in your mind, hey,
yes,
a week off.
It's a different
or
routine.
Or you pitch on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And this is, obviously, for people who know baseball too. This isn't a nothing conversation. I don't think we're being too picky here, because you know, you've seen it at the pro level and at the college level, hell, at the high school level. An ace, their stuff is just going to look different than anybody else that follows them.
Yep.
If they're a power arm, you'll see them be able to apply that appropriately. If they're more of a off-speed guy, you're going to see them be able to spot that appropriately. There's going to be a dominant element to what they do. I think it's fair to say, as good as the numbers still are right now with Brett Sears, has he looked like the dominant from start to finish in the last two outings? No, he hasn't. Now, is that just, as pitchers at every level will have, maybe a couple shoddy weeks, maybe a month, and then they're able to get back to form? That's completely in the equation for Sears. The fact that you've had back-to-back and you're near in postseason, and I think it's an important thing you bring up with the innings compared to a year ago, does that have an impact? That's a fair question. Because if you go into this weekend, which is a huge series against Indiana, this is a chance not only to distance Indiana from you, but as you mentioned, put yourself right back in the standings and put yourself into the conference lead at home where you should be your most comfortable. That's where I would really look at this. I know the Iowa series was at home. You're dealing with a lot of different weather. The circumstances were different. You're on the road this last week. You're going to be at home. By all indications, weather should be pretty solid. You've got that opportunity in a big-time series. What you're typically going to feel now from here on out, maybe not at East Lansing, but from the Big Ten tournament and then wherever you go for a regional, you're going to have that type of juice. Do you feed off of that, and do you look dominant again?
Yeah. At least I got we didn't have to worry about what happened on Saturday. Got a really good performance. Just buckle up. But, again, they won the series.
Yeah.
They are still in good shape. RPI is 21.
And even Will Walsh wasn't...
Just didn't get any run support. They were terrible.
He wasn't the problem.
Too many lazy fly balls.
Yes.
That looked like a Sunday getaway day, and we got our two wins.
Didn't have the contact, yeah.
1-2-3, let's go back to Lincoln.
But you know what? This is where I really do appreciate what Will Bolt sees right now. Okay, they got their midweek win. They got that great story with what they got out of Jackson Brockett. They went into a weekend with a chance to take that great midweek success and put it into a series sweep and put yourself right there tied atop the Big Ten, and they didn't do it, and he's holding them accountable for it. He could have easily said, any coach could have easily said, hey, Minnesota's good. To sweep them would have been really, really tough. Yeah. No, he didn't look at it that way. There's a guy that has a true feel of what his team is about and what they're capable of, and knowing they didn't show up with it yesterday.
You just hope that one game where you were, I mean, Sunday you got to score runs.
Yep.
You've done enough Sunday college baseball games.
Sunday run,
it's
day,
all
fun
about,
day.
It's all about putting up big crooked numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, score as many runs as possible. And you hope that one where you did not look good and you had a chance in the sixth to get back in it. And then you went quietly in the last three innings against Minnesota's bullpen. And I mean, Minnesota, you know, badge of honor for PJ and John Anderson. They haven't been swept this year. but you hope that that's not one game you look back in 2 weeks and go, gosh.
Yeah, should have had it.
Yep. Quick update here. We have a listener named Ted into the Equitable Bank inbox.
Hi, Ted.
He goes, listen to the show this morning. He goes, I am very much a salad bar guy. Here are my current salad bar rankings in Omaha.
Okay.
He goes, one is Brother Sebastian's.
Good, my man.
Okay. He said number two is Whole Foods.
I've never eaten anything at Whole Foods. I've bought from Whole Foods, but it always smells really good in there.
I think their scale is off at Whole Foods. That's just my opinion. Okay. You know, they're debating at the camera angle, and the finish line was off in Kansas last night. I'm wondering about the scale at Whole Foods, okay?
You can manipulate scales in all facets of life.
Instead of giving you a scale, you know, like when the yogurt shops were big and you weighed your yogurt?
Yeah.
Why don't they just give you a time? You've got a minute to put as much into the little container that you get at Whole Foods as possible.
Yep.
We're not weighing. You got a minute.
Yep.
Play some music.
After that minute, if you missed out on something, that's on you. You just got to have a better plan next time.
He says number three is Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee does have a banger salad bar, especially the Mega Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
And then he says four is Spaghetti Works.
Yeah, I'd put Spaghetti Works as far as a local establishment in my top five.
I need to get out more.
So I got two out of...
You're a health guy, too.
I am. I mean, to an extent.
You look healthy.
Thank you.
The two that he mentioned, I would definitely have my top five. Spaghetti Works and Brother Sebastian would be my numero uno.
See, Damon used to tell me about Brother Sebastian. So
you know who
it's
has?
You know what? I've never had a bad meal there. It's just really dark for me.
It is. You never had a bad meal there. You said you only went there once. So that meal was good.
And the chance when I went in. I know it's an Omaha thing. I went there probably not ingrained in the Omaha community. I'm like, can we just go to Bagel Bin? No, we're going to continue to drive to Brother Sebastian's.
Well, it isn't kind of funny, too, because as you're heading there towards the end of the street, it's kind of in the dark corner there, too. And it's
do you have to knock on the door and say a password? You have like a mask on your eyes? Because I've seen that movie.
Do you guys remember, and Jimmy, you might have, when you've made some stops here in Omaha before you became a resident.
I deny everything.
The Caniglia's. Before they shut that down over by UNO, had a really good salad bar, though.
I did not know that.
They did have a very good one.
I did not go there.
Very similar, in my opinion, to a Brother Sebastian or the Drover. But yes, I would have put that one in there.
Old school steakhouses still have the salad bar.
And if you get a side of Mastacholi.
Our moms and dads, and they don't. Nope. Cassio's does not have a salad bar.
No. Nope.
I don't believe they do. I've never seen a salad bar.
I never have, no.
But man, old school steakhouses, and we have plenty of them that are bangers in this town. You got to have the salad bar because our moms and dads have been used to that.
Yep.
I mean, they feel like they're getting gypped. They're paying $25 for a little steak. Mm-hmm. Why don't they get the salad bar?
Yeah, cue that Patriot Supply guy to start talking.
There are many times when I didn't know what the hell I was doing when it came to proper distribution of the salad and then what I was going to have for the entree. There was a lot of times the entree came rolling by. I'm like, I don't know if I can finish this thing because I loaded up on the salad bar. Because they had sunflower seeds on top of my ranch.
Want to.
I can tell you, the Drover still has, they got the sunflower seeds.
Yep. Do you get the little, the crunchy bacon bits too?
I don't like bacon.
You're not a bacon guy? No. You don't like bacon, period?
No, I know. I'm a rare Iowan that doesn't like bacon.
Whoa. Why am I just learning this
now? That's true. I guess I didn't know that either.
You are not a bacon guy.
Chocolate bacon. There's certain things.
Chocolate.
I mean, I'll eat bacon, but I'm not,
you don't seek it.
You don't
seek it.
Okay, yeah, you don't seek it out. Like when you hear that we're here, the crackling or the smell of bacon just doesn't put you in a better place.
No.
I know it does for me.
So when they say there's bacon in the break room.
And I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of it has to come from my childhood. Because
you saw
we
it happen.
Friggin' had BLT sandwiches all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some foods as a kid that I ate a lot of that I like. As I got older, I was like, I'm good.
BLT, I'm
Shout
with you
Sloppy
on that.
Joe's.
Such an Iowa thing.
We did have a lot of BLTs, and they were the... If bacon could be boring, it's on a BLT.
The one at the Peanut in Kansas City, though?
I've never had
that. Oh, that's a BLT to...
Is it like a beefed up BLT?
It's a everything.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
I'm told that Nick Grimm loves the salad bar.
Which one?
He likes to be full before the meal.
Nick Grimm.
I don't know, just a salad
just
bar.
Just a salad bar?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be full before the meal? Unless you're getting a small entree.
Leftovers.
Just go to Jason's Deli then.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to... I still think that if I go, I think you know something. You're trying to set me up for failure. I'm going to go and try to get a second trip. And they're like, there's going to be like an alarm that goes off.
take a
repeat station offender.
Their ice cream, by the way, is not as good as Pizza Ranch. A little bit thicker. I like the soft serve.
There you go.
Soft serve at Pizza Ranch. It's more of a clunky, better for a root beer float at Jason's.
There you
Deli.
Go with the Pizza Ranch thing again.
And then they got, and then they try and they give you these ice cream cones that just break.
They're like
they're flimsy.
Yeah, you got to have some type of stability there. Yeah. Pierce Chad says he was at Pizza Ranch. He was a Pizza Ranch fan until him and his wife got food poisoning.
That'll do it. Usually,
OMG is what he said. I said,
shout out Cheddar's.
You know what? Doesn't shock me. It's probably the chicken. It was probably the chicken, Chad, too.
Who ate the pizza?
It was probably the chicken.
Was it pizza from Salt Lake City?
It's true. Don't ever order pizza in Salt Lake City in the middle of the night. Yes. Especially if you have a big game tomorrow.
I love that story.
This weekend probably was the one time that you did something that you do every year at this time. I'll explain when we come back. There's Nick, Jimmy here as well. I'm Gary. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone. All right, it is golf season, so whether you're walking down the fairway, whether you're walking to your seat at Memorial Stadium to watch your son or daughter graduate, or you know Morrison Stadium, wherever it might be for graduation parties, or Baxter Arena, or you're walking your daughter down the aisle, or you're sitting in the front row wondering, what has your son done? You know what? You don't have to worry about this part if your fit is rad. Yes, Lindley Clothing and well-suited. They want to make you look good at all these special events that are coming up here in the spring. Shorts to polo shirts. You know, it's not just suits, even though they have bangers. Jeans as well. They got fantastic golf gear. Peter Millar, Johnny O. So when you say four, you're wearing Johnny O. Also great golf tech golf pants from Ballin. Golf shoes from Johnson & Murphy. They have got it all. Lindley Clothing is Omaha's premier provider of men's fashion. Weddings to the golf course to just going into the office. They've got you covered. Top-notch customer service, well-suited, and Lindley Clothing right together. They take care of everything that you need with the latest styles. And check them out today. 132nd of West Dodge in the Linden Market.